My name is Michael Nelson. I am 58 years old. Today is Sunday, May 20th, 2018, and I'm speaking with my wife. We are recording this interview in Los Angeles, California. So okay, the first
I'm
question
gonna
is.
I'm going to have to say also mine.
Oh.
Yeah, I have to do the same thing. Hi, my name is Mona, and I am 59, and today is May 20th still, and the location is Los Angeles, and I'm the wife.
The first question is, where were your ancestors born?
I am Fajicha Nubian from Upper Egypt. This is where my ancestor from. It is Fajicha Nubian, these are the Egyptian part of the Nubian. What?
Nothing. It's good. Yeah, they explain where they're from, like from the south of Egypt and
yeah,
the north of Sudan.
Yeah, Nubians. They are the Nubians. They are the ancestors of the Nubian kingdom, which it was a kingdom during the Egyptian Pharaonic kingdom. And we are the extended of those Nubians. I'm Fajicha Nubian.
And also say the tell them where your ancestors were born.
I thought that is a question.
Like in Abu Simbel and the importance of Abu Simbel.
I'm Fajicha Nubian. Nubian, we marry from each other traditionally. So Fajicha, my group or my tribes, they marry from each other, and we spread all the way from Khartoum in Sudan all the way up to, Aswan, Abu Simbel, which is a border of Sudan. My family, my ancestors, there is my father, he's from, and grandmother, they are from Faras, which is on the other side of the border of Egypt. On the Nile, and I have ancestor from Wadi Halfa and so on. But my family, they settled in Abu Simbel, which is on the border of Sudan and in the Egyptian side of the border.
Are there any traditions that have been passed down through your family that you can tell me about?
Well, we are... We moved from our ancestor land in 1960 because of the build of the high dam, and our ancestor land became a reservoir behind the dam, kind of squeezing us out from the land. And we start learning. We spoke at that time and lived with the old traditional, the ancient tradition of the Nubians. Which goes back to 10,000 years. And we start learning the, or kind of losing, started losing the our tradition at that point, from 1960, so on, in order to fit in our new life being in Egypt and the northern part of Egypt, which is the southern part of the Nile. And from the we still practice most of the tradition, but because of the fact is that all our tradition or most of our tradition has something to do with this, with the Nile. Our tradition, all of it almost was associated with the Nile. We had to practice a portion of it in the Nile, moving out from our village by the Nile and going to live in the big city away from the Nile where Nile is not accessible. We lost a lot of our tradition. Our wedding tradition, we try to hold as much as we can from the old tradition. And one of it would be something like the henna, using the henna for the men and for the women as a blessing, and of course the reciting the genealogy of the bride and the groom by the elderly and the women of the tribe, a way to introduce the new.
What about the does the Nubi people have their own language or?
Yeah, Nubians, we have lots of languages. It is an ancient languages, and my people, we speak Zarutana. I'm Fajicha, so we speak Zarutana. However, there is Kunuz, which is the Matoki, they speak the Kinzi language. And then, of course, there is all kind of Arab Galat and Mahas and Sukkot and Dukot and Dingloi and all kind of.
Do they teach these languages in school?
We don't. These languages, as we know, languages, it is, it's again, it is an ancient languages where it was supposed to be languages during the pharaohs and the Nubians. It was a very holistic or kind of it is one of the things which you only certain servant of the temple, they know how to read and write the languages. So it is passed from one generation to one generation orally, and only the servant of the temple or certain one from the temple, they are the only one who knows how to read and write. Just recently, there is start like a kind of number of Nubian. They start trying to teach it or learn it using the period where the Nubians used the Coptic alphabet, the Greek Coptic alphabet, adding few letters in order to cater some of the sounds which is not in the Latin Greek letters.
Do the they built this dam, the Aswan High Dam, which flooded lots of
the High Dam, yeah,
and created the second world largest lake in the world, Lake Nasser. So, what happened to the Nubian villages?
It was under the reservoir behind the dam, so we had to move out the artificial villages in the middle of the desert. However, those villages did not provide us with means to survive and to work. So all men, they start emigrating to the big cities in Egypt and Sudan and working there. And whoever was able to settled in one of those places would go back, teach the Arabic languages to the women and the kids. And whoever is able to have any grasp on that new languages, they would take them back to the big city to live with them. And leaving behind in those new uncomfortable villages, they leave behind those who were not able to learn the Arabic languages.
Do the Nubians look different from other Egyptians and Sudanese, or do they decorate
Nubians,
homes or anything?
Well, Nubians, they are, of course, they have, again, they have an ancient, they are, you know, ancient Africans. So they have the facial features, which is soft, but we have the skin color, which is dark. We have tradition on building the house, and every day in life we have all kind of tradition, which is more of symbolically, you know, rich and richer than those, you know, modern way they deal with everything, clothes or homes or food or anything like that, wedding, life.
Do they dress differently in the village as opposed to the city?
Yeah, of course we did. We dress. We had the gargar, which is the black women. They dress in black, men dressed in white. And women traditionally, they had lots of gold or silver. The Matoki, there is some group tribes, they would prefer silver, and some tribes would they are honored to wear lots of gold. And my Fajicha people, we were one of those honored one who we would wear gold.
And one of the things that impressed me when I visited some of the villages that haven't been flooded is how they decorate the houses. Can you explain that?
So there is a question about that. The home, there is a difference in Nubian languages between house and home. House, it is a place where you just kind of protect you from like a environment, and that's usually we consider it is a place for animals, and we usually house animals in homes in places made with bricks or rocks or something like that. Nubian home, it is something else. We take lots of pride of how we build it, and it has to have all kind of memories. And to start with the proposal of a man to a woman and her acceptance. Once she accept, the groom-to-be would go and pick up the spot. Then and he would start to him and his friend to build the house. Of course, that means that they would start joking about all kind of things which is going to happen in the house, and we start creating like a kind of memory just to him and his friend building the house. As soon as he finished, then the woman or the lady of the house would come and decorate outside the house with motifs of things she likes and she doesn't like. Those motifs, they are once she puts this motif, it is kind of a way of herself to take her place between in the village as a lady of a house. And men in the afternoon, if they would like to go and see, to kind of spend the afternoon in one of those houses, would be able to read those motif in certain way to find out if this is a lady of the house they are going to visit, if she's religious or if she's neat or if she is clever or if she's funny. They can read this information just by kind of break motifs as a woman she draw outside.
So like what type of motifs, what type of designs?
So usually motifs which is coming from the environment, like we had, of course, the scorpion. There is animals like and bugs and the Nile and the vegetation of the Nile. And of course, we have some bird, like we ancestors, they always, we draw the ancestor as still kind of standing pigeons, flying pigeons. It means unrest soul. So we always draw the pigeons, they are not flying. And things which is pieces of gold, like Ghusr Rahman or the earrings or something, one of those things. So whatever the woman, she feels like, again, crocodile, scorpion, lizard, things from the environment mostly. They are the stuff which we use. And the way we draw it and how we place them and all the things. There is some writing also.
Tradition of painting houses changed?
Definitely. The houses that the government built to us, we immigrated to, they were houses which they could not take our painting because they were built with bricks. and we used to draw on a house made of mud, which is the adobe kind of bricks, which is easy for us to, which we know how to deal with. The brick houses, it means is that we have to buy the colors, and it just doesn't, we don't know how to apply it and how to draw with it. It's not, it is not as inspiring as the one we had in the old village.
So the last question here is about your an ancestor. Is there a story of an ancestor that you'd like to tell us about?
My ancestor. Well, there is a lots of stories. This is one of the things which is difficult to kind of, I mean, our stories, it is moving from village to another. But the one story which kind of stuck in my head, it is a story of my grandmother, Fatma Yasin Babu Bakr, when she moved to the new, when we moved to the new villages, which is a government built, it was very strange to see, for her to see all those houses. They look exactly the same. Of course, the government, they tried to do as the best of their knowledge what they considered at that time. It is beautiful, which homes has to be exactly the same, look next to each other in rows, cleanly put. And my grandmother, she was shocked to see that the houses they built, it was made of bricks, of rocks. And my grandmother, she refused to get inside those houses. And she said only animals and dead people, they live in a structure made of rocks. And I am not an animal. I'm not a dead, and I'm going to sleep outside. And she stayed outside until she was very, very, very old and about to die and very sick. When the men, they asked her the permission to allow them to take her inside, and she said, yes, this is the time where I can go inside, you know, that tomb. And as soon as she went inside, she died. So that's one story.
That's a great story, and I understand also that there's a great ancient history of the Nubian people, and they are referred to as the Black Pharaohs. Do you, can you tell us a little bit maybe about the pharaonic, the Black Pharaohs, the Nubian kingdoms?
Well, Nubians, you are known for having women as rulers. This is where the Nubian queen came from. We had lots of absolutely amazing queens who came to visit the Egyptian pharaohs. Most of our dynasties throughout the Nubian history, it was women rulers, queens. In the 21st dynasty, it was men, and started with Pi. And that dynasty, they were, all of them, they are men, and they went ahead and invaded Egypt. And one of them, which is the greatest one, Terhaka, he announced himself a pharaoh, which is something Nubians, they don't believe in. We don't believe that human being can be a pharaoh. A pharaoh is a god on earth. Nubians, they did not believe in that. They believed that human beings are human being, and we had only king and queens, mostly queens. But Terhaka became a pharaoh, or announced himself as a pharaoh, God on earth, and ruled Egypt and Nubian kingdom. And he did a great legacy. He was a very good ruler. But anyway, that's only the only dynasty, Shitaka and Shitka and Terhaka. Terhaka was the one very, very famous pharaohs.
And the last question, what is Nubia? Does it mean anything?
Nubia, Nub, it means gold. Nubia, it is a land of gold. It is appointed to us by the Egyptian pharaohs, since all the mines of gold, it was in our land. Actually, in Nubian land housed all the Egyptian pharaohs' gods' homes. Hathor. We had it Baraka Mountain, which it was a home for Hathor, and we had the gold, which is the blessing from the sun, Aton, and earth. We have, of course, the source of the Nile, or from where we are, the source of the Nile came in, and so on. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.